Hi, welcome back to the 1%. I am your host, Abdullahi Ali, and without further delay, let's get right into this. Today, we will be discussing a book called Motorcycles and Sweetgrass, written by none other than Drew Hayden Taylor, a Canadian playwright, author, and journalist. The book was a finalist for the Governor General's Literary Awards, as well as a national bestseller. Let's start off with a rundown of the book. The story starts us off in an Anishinaabe reserve as we follow the current chief Maggie and her son Virgil. Both of these characters have their own issues. The reserve has just been given a new chunk of land by the government, and Maggie is bombarded with the ideas the local villagers envision for it, and Virgil barely attends any of his classes and is in danger of failing 8th grade. Tragedy strikes early in the book as Maggie's mother dies of old age. Before her death, a mysterious white stranger with a very unique looking motorcycle named John visits her, and this makes everyone confused as to who he is and what his relationship with her is. Sometime after the funeral, John proceeds with his plan to make Maggie fall for him. Virgil, noticing the stranger trying to put the moves on his mother, sets out to recruit his uncle Wayne to help him stop John. While investigating John undercover, they watch in dismay as they witness him arguing with a group of raccoons. Because of this, they start to speculate that John might actually be Nanabush, a trickster demigod in native mythology. They try to warn Maggie of who John might actually be, but Maggie dismisses them. Realizing that Maggie won't back down willingly, they take matters into their own hands. Wayne confronts John and the two of them fight it out. The aftermath saw Virgil and his cousin Dakota take Wayne to the clinic, and John sneaks away to the press conference that Maggie will be attending. She ends up ending her relationship with John after she discovers he buried ancient bones at the conference to stir up a commotion to get her alone with him. Defeated, John leaves the reserve after admitting to Virgil that he actually is Nanabush and that he did what he did because his grandmother had asked him to put a little magic in their lives. There are many themes and topics in this book, but what I want to primarily focus on is how people react to change and how their mindsets affect their behavior. Maggie's mother, Lillian, is a survivor of residential schools. She and a fellow reserve member, Sammy Andeg, had different views on their experience with the schools. Sammy refused to speak English and was always getting into trouble, getting beat, and being placed in a shed for long hours. The attitude that he had is what we were taught that most natives had about the system. Lillian, on the other hand, had a slightly different perspective. She didn't like the schools and their practices, but she realized that she could learn a thing or two from them. Quote, "That doesn't matter. I get to go home next year. And I like learning. I like knowing there's so much out there." End quote. Taylor, page 15. She saw that she was put in an unfamiliar environment and took all that she could from her time there. The residential schools were a travesty that should have never happened, but Lillian proved that there is always something to take away from your experiences, and that is why she didn't allow the residential schools to stop her from having a complete life and a loving family. I want to now enlighten you on a different character's experience. Maggie was the wife of the previous chief before he had died in a tragic boating accident. The tensions between her and her husband had been escalating as she was mad for him being more committed to the office than his family. When she got elected, she began to hate everything about the office, like the responsibilities, management, and paperwork. She somehow began to think that her husband had cursed her to feel this pain. She blamed her husband for negligence, but she was starting to realize that she was doing the same thing as she let her son skip so many days of school. Now, before you go hating on Maggie, I just want to ask, what would you do if you were in her position? If you felt that your spouse was distancing themselves from your family, would you not confront them? If you were all of a sudden given the responsibility of your people, would you not focus on their issues to make life better for them? What I am trying to point out is that it is all about perspective. We think we know what is right from wrong until we are put in these tough situations. Sure, her approach isn't perfect, but are we going to judge her based on if she's perfect or not? She even learns how to be content with her job, something that it seems her husband could never accomplish. Quote, "In the meantime, Maggie was trying a more zen approach to her work and her life. She could not control the things that happened in her community. She just merely had to react. That in itself lowered her blood pressure." End quote. Taylor, 340. Her experience with John helped her realize that chaos is going to come, but her approach didn't have to be chaotic as well. So what should we take away from all that? As human beings, we'd like to be prepared for things. We don't invite change in too much as it disrupts our current flow. At the end of the day, change is coming. It doesn't matter how significant the change is. All we need to remember is that how we view things affects our attitudes towards them. If we always have a negative view towards something, we are essentially robbing ourselves of the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to better ourselves. This has been Abdullahi Ali on the 1%. Make sure to follow to get notifications on new content. Next week we will determine if the Boston Bruins were robbed of a Stanley Cup. And with that, I am out.